Om Shanti. Good morning. Diwali celebrations started early this year and they continued till last night. And one of the things that we say to people who come to us for Diwali is let there be not just Diwali for one day or 5 days, but let there be Diwali for the whole year, which means keeping this flame ignited, the flame lit, so that truly that light stays with me. And so my question, how do I keep my happiness for the whole year? In fact, not just the whole year, true till the end of the kalpa, I should have accumulated so much happiness within the soul through Sangam Yuga that that happiness is able to stay with me, not just for half the cycle, but towards the end of the cycle also. And probably, if you look at your life before Gyan, most days were happy days. There were some days of sorrow, for sure. It's Kali Yuga, and there were accounts to be settled. But I think that most of the days were filled with a spark of happiness, whether through God's love and the good deeds of bhakti, or just the stock that we'd accumulated in Sangam Yuga. And so now at each moment, am I able to accumulate more and more happiness within myself? And so just thinking about how in Laukik life, happiness depends, of course, on everything external. And now Baba has changed all of that so that it's now the internal experience. But think about how a child taking birth, first of all, just the love of the parents is enough to make the child happy. There's nothing else that the child needs. And doesn't have to think about food or rest or anything. The parents are there to take care of everything. And so that experience of being a child of God, a very real experience in Sangam Yuga, which through the rest of the kalpa can't happen. Golden age, silver age, God is totally forgotten. Copper age, we're searching, desperate love, but not really finding. And we'll sing praise, but no experience of the relationship with the Divine. And now, in Sangam Yuga, Kali Yuga I won't even mention, but even bhakti becomes so adulterated, so mixed, many, many different motives. But now in Sangam Yuga, knowing who I am as a child of God, and knowing God as my parent, and the joy of Sangam Yuga, just in that one simple statement of being a child of God, who am I and who is my father, and also who is my family? As the child grows older, there's the awareness of family and the love of the family and the blessings of the family. And so in Sangam Yuga, immediately you take birth, it doesn't take long to know that this is where I belong, this is my family. And I know that for myself, it felt more comfortable to be with the Alaukik family than the Laukik, who also felt that. A good number. Some people go to the extent of telling me that even the country in which they were born, they didn't feel comfortable in that country. They felt more comfortable, or there's a connection they made with Bharat. People who are not physically connected with Bharat in any way, they tell me that as soon as they stepped foot on the soil of Bharat, I won't say the smell, the fragrance of the earth of Bharat, a very unique fragrance, touched them, and something stirred within their memory of belonging there. And I used to see it traveling with those who were going to Bharat for the first time, or those who had been to Bharat on Laukik travels. Many had already gone searching for God in Bharat pre-Gyan. So just that connection with the soil of Bharat made them feel they were home. So my family, this is where I belong. Again, that warmth, that security, wherever it is you go, now there's a VK family, most places. And it's just wonderful to know that there's someone you can reach out to if you need to, even if you're going on Laukik work. But that sense of family is a very beautiful one. And so the happiness of knowing I belong to this family. So those are the immediate things that happen. But as you continue your journey, you discover more and more things. You discover the beauty of drama. And it's a very important discovery. Mama would say, sweet drama. She never used the word drama just on its own. And when I say drama, is it with resignment? I'm resigned to whatever it is that's happening. Well, I suppose it's drama. Or do I get angry about the scenes of drama? So what's going on when I see the drama unfolding in front of me? Well, when I remember that it's a drama, and no 2 days are the same, it's an expression that Daddy often uses. Of course, Baba uses it, but we keep hearing Daddy say this many times in her talks. No 2 days are the same. No 2 seconds are the same. No 2 souls are the same. And the souls also are not the same from morning to afternoon. That's also a fact. But hopefully in Brahman life it's better and better and better. So the appreciation of drama and the joy of that is very beautiful. That gives a lot of happiness as I learn to appreciate drama. It didn't happen instantly. It was a training. Let me see. What's the benefit? What's the benefit? What do I have to learn? So all of these things, who I am, who I belong to, my family and the drama, these are the 4 basic fundamental pillars of Gyan in a sense. And then Daddy always adds the subject of karma to that. The drama and karma are interchangeable. And so the drama is as I create it through my karma. And so that's part of the story of happiness. But I wanted to share with you some information that one kind sister who had given a talk on happiness sent to me. And this is a few years ago she sent it, but as I was thinking about the subject of keeping the happiness of the days of Diwali alive in our hearts, I remembered that. So real story, a professor in the UK was asked by the government of USA to do research on the subject of happiness. This is a few years ago. And he was given a blank check. So he had unlimited number of people helping him in his research. And they interviewed literally thousands of people of all colors, backgrounds, ages, the whole demography. And they came up with 2 things that most people were saying would bring happiness. One was wealth. We don't believe that, but Laukik people did. And the other one was, I'm sure you're thinking about it in your own mind, and I was a bit surprised when I read it, but of course, that's what they said, came from research. The second was beauty. They said that happiness and happiness comes from wealth, and happiness comes from beauty. So then they decided to, this is what people were saying, so then they decided they'd explore this further. And so they selected Washington, D.C. as a place where within a small space, a small area, you'd find probably the wealthiest people in the world. And so they went to interview them. And what result do they get? You know the result already. But for Laukik people, it was a bit of an eye-opener. Because what people said was that the more wealth they have, the more afraid they are. They become more and more security conscious, and they're really scared that something may happen to them or their loved ones because of their wealth. They're very scared that something will happen to make them lose their wealth, whether it's a revolution in a country, whether it's terrorist act, whatever. Many things can happen nowadays, the stock market, anything. So they're very scared about losing the wealth that they had acquired. They were very concerned that they didn't have any real friends. They didn't know whether a person was being friends with them because of their money or really they were a true friend. They couldn't judge. And so they were suspicious. The more wealth they had, the more suspicious they became. And they were just afraid. And so when your life is full of fear, you can't be happy. And so they said no, they were not happy. They could go anywhere, they could do anything, but there was always the ring of fear surrounding them. So that was one myth debunked. Wealth doesn't bring happiness. Yes, you need a certain amount of comfort, facilities, but once you've achieved those, anything beyond that, beyond your needs, it doesn't bring happiness. So then they decided to explore the second thing, the beauty. And they went to Hollywood. Logical place to go to. The most beautiful people in the world. And what do they find there? Everyone they interviewed had a very, very similar story. They were very concerned that day by day the aging clock was ticking on. How do you stop that? And that there'd be younger people coming on the scene who would take their place, which was happening all the time. They were very concerned that when they looked into the mirror, they'd see another wrinkle. They were very concerned that when they were eating, every ounce of food that they took was going to impact their waistline. And so, again, they were even scared of eating. And then they were very scared of their friends. They didn't know what the motive of that was. Is it real friendship or is it that these people want something from them? And so that idea that beauty is going to get you good relationships, is going to surround you with friends who are going to make you happy, not true. All the most beautiful people in the world told them they were scared. So it's just a very interesting indication of the times in which we live, that people out there are really surrounded by fear. And this research was done a little while ago. But over the years, what we've seen is that fear has increased in people. Right? Fear has not decreased. We've got more security. Which are the companies that are flourishing? Just go through London. And the scenario today is very different from 20 years ago. There are more food places, eating places, because nobody wants to bother to cook. But the other companies that are flourishing are all the security companies. You never saw that 20, 25 years ago. Maybe you saw one or two here or there, but now London at least, and I imagine most cities are full of these. So the whole culture has become one of fear. And when there's fear, of course it breeds aggression and violence, confrontation. And so, Kali Yuga. And you're not surprised when we see all these things. It's Kali Yuga. when people tell me stories about what's going on, I say, well, what did you expect? It's Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga is really reaching its final period. So what did they find finally in terms of what is it that brings happiness? They found that a life based on values brings happiness. A life of good character brings happiness. And education brings happiness. What has Baba been teaching us? Baba has been teaching us how to come back to our original values. And so the more I feel aligned to the original qualities of the soul, the happier I am, the easier it is for me to maintain my happiness. This is why Baba says, you are your own friend. But equally, you can go the other way. And so let me be able to nurture my own values. Firstly, in silence. In silence, I connect with the original qualities of the soul. In silence, I can emerge those qualities of the soul. And I can take power from Baba to be able to follow those values no matter what the challenges outside may be. How many people tell you honesty is not possible in today's world? And yet what Baba is doing is establishing Satyug, the age of truth. So who's going to make that happen? God is the truth. But God doesn't enjoy Satyug. Yesterday Baba was trying to make us feel sorry for him. I don't come to Satyug. I never experience the happiness of Satyug. But I create Satyug for you and you experience that happiness. And so, if in today's world I really follow the path of truth with love, with dedication, with power from Baba, I can be part of that establishment of the world of Satyug. And that applies not just in big things. It applies on a day-to-day level. And every time, whatever the challenges are, I stay connected with Baba and I follow the path of honesty, the path of truth, the happier I am. Otherwise, there isn't going to be the possibility of real happiness staying with me. One of the other things that struck me over the last week's Muralis, I mean every day Baba gives us very profound things to ponder over, to experiment with and to see in our own lives. But there was one particular statement that Baba made about becoming Bab Saman, like the Father. And you hear it and it sounds so simple. Very simple. And yet you start practicing it and there you go. You become a deity. You become like the Father. And that statement was, God is the remover of sorrow and the bestower of happiness. And if you want to become like the Father, there's your formula. That's it. To remove the sorrow of others and give happiness. Question. Why is it that I still give sorrow if I give sorrow? If I'm not giving sorrow, fine. But why is it that inadvertently we still give sorrow? And it's because I haven't dealt with the sorrow that I'm carrying within myself. So then the tone of my voice changes. The way my eyes are functioning changes. The words I use change. Today's Murali has given a very beautiful description of what is service. It's not just words, but the pure feelings I carry in my heart, the good actions that I perform, the good wishes that I give, If I'm focusing on all of these, then yes, the words are going to have an impact, otherwise they won't. So that was given short tips in everything today. Beautiful, Murali, a time when Baba was still meeting individuals and groups in 83, long time ago. But the question for me, how do I get rid of the sorrow that I carry so that really I am able to experience happiness myself? Because the comeback of karma in Sangam Yuga is very fast. The rest of the cycle, well, we are drawing from our capital investment in the golden and silver age, nothing more being added. We are drawing from our capital. Copper age, iron age, it's slow. Maybe things come back in one birth, a few births later, who knows. But it's not usually instant. But in Sangam Yuga, everything has to be settled very quickly. And so the give and take is very, very fast. I give sorrow, and the first thing that happens is my own happiness is diminished. I give sorrow just through my mind because of my critical thinking. What happens? Again, my own happiness is diminished. One moment you're feeling fine. Next moment, you're not feeling so good. Trace it back, and probably you'll see that a critical thought came, a judgmental thought came, a negative thought. And what did that do? Yes, it impacted through vibration the person that I'm thinking about. And Brahman thoughts are extremely powerful. Somebody who knows the Brahman family intimately, because they deal with many health issues for the Brahman family, but they're not Brahmins themselves, they're very pakka in their own Christian tradition, but a person of very good values, and they're really genuinely trying to help the Brahman family. And he said to me, why is it that so many people in the Brahman family, he uses that term, he knows us, get sick? And if you see the population of the Brahman family and the number of people who are physically not well, that's what's happening. But he said, and I told him that, well, it's a time of settlement of karma. And he knows enough gyan to understand that language. And I said, it's a time of settlement, and so people are settling. And he said, yes, I can believe that. But I also think that Brahmins are very powerful. Their good thoughts, pure thoughts, can serve the world. But I think that sometimes they get into conflict, and then there's negative thoughts for each other, even if it's a little bit. But even that little bit of negativity attacks the other and the self. Does both. And I didn't have an answer for him. Right, the other answer of settling karma. But the situation that we're in today, yes, it's the end of the cycle. And I'm also very, very aware that at this moment, whatever is hidden inside seems to be surfacing outside. Benefit, yes, we're dealing with it. But it's a challenge. Challenge for the individual and for others. So, what is delaying the drama? Because the world out there is ready. Ready to accept God, ready to accept that it's silence that's going to work, ready to accept that it's time for transformation. Many people are talking about all of these things. But the tipping point, the power and purity of the Brahman family, that's what drama is waiting for. And in that state in which I've gone through the cleansing and I've removed the sorrow that I carry in my heart, then my own inner values can begin to express and play themselves out. And the happiness that I'm seeking is going to come to me multiplied. And of course, the more I give happiness, the more I receive in return. Not only the straight account of karma, but because I'm sharing the happiness that God has given, it's multiplied manifold. And so all I have to do is to just give attention to the process of cleaning out whatever is going on inside and become so clean that I can feel the happiness that God has given me and continues to give me, and I can then share that. And so the way to increase my own happiness is to give happiness. Have you ever experienced that? You've made somebody else smile, and what happens to you? You smile double. It really makes you happy that you've done something for another. And so to be able to multiply my happiness through my own values, through my own life of high principles and character, education. Those were the Lokic findings, but they're actually based on the spiritual truth of what Baba's teaching us. And so the more I educate myself in terms of not just hearing the Murali or reading the Murali, but reflecting on the Murali. The word educare, when you're talking to people out there, we tell them it means to bring out that which is inside, which is very different to just passing exams and accumulating certificates, but where you're stuffing information in here. But not so much that, but Baba's Murali, as I reflect on Baba's Murali, it allows the highest within the self to emerge, because Gyan is then going deep within the soul and putting me back on track. So the Lokic world is beginning to understand all the things that Baba's been telling us about for decades, which is great because there's that confirmation. But sometimes maybe we need to hear things from the outside perspective to know what it is we need to be doing now also. And so each moment of Sangam Yug, let me experience the joy of those first four things that I shared: who I am, who my parent is, what my family is all about, and drama, and then the values and the alignment with my own values through silence, my character, following God's teachings in my life, and that's going to make me happy. Whether anybody else is around me or watching, not watching, but I know what I'm doing in my thoughts, my words, my deeds. And so that was given us a very beautiful formula. One more thing that Baba shares and Daddy underlines when she's talking a lot. Am I wasting something? You know how Daddy's often asked the question, where do you get this energy from? How come you're able to be enthusiastic all the time? And her answer is, I've never wasted my thoughts, my time, my energy, my money on anything. And so am I using all the assets and resources that I have in the best possible way to be able to move forward spiritually myself, but also to be able to share with others? And where something's gone to waste, then your mind gets pulled. Does that happen? You spend £5 on something useful, it's fine. But if you've lost 50 pence, you're looking, I know I kept it here, where is it? So on the external level, a little bit that's lost, and your mind, you tell yourself, it's okay. But no, the mind will get pulled, because wastage has that effect. It pulls you in its direction. And so let me see if I'm using my thoughts, my time, my energy, and whatever it is that I'm being blessed with in the best possible way. And my stock of happiness will continue to increase. So today I take leave to go to Bonn for the climate change conference. It's very interesting to see that 2 years ago in the Paris conference, everybody said, wonderful, all the governments have come to an agreement. And then what happened after that? It wasn't legally binding. They couldn't make it that. And the emissions are worse than ever. So you can talk. But, and of course, Brahmins are not disappointed when they see that. It's been a fantastic opportunity to serve many, many and make them aware of consciousness. And that's been the slow, drop by drop, drip by drip process that's been happening over the years at the UN in particular. Slow, but then they trust you, they begin to believe you, they begin to listen to what you have to say, they want you with them. So we're in that stage now where people want us to be with them in their programs, their platforms and whatever. So let's see what happens in terms of Lokic life. We know what's going to happen in terms of Baba's work. We also know that definitely there's going to be good things that emerge from every step of the way. One brilliant thing that's happened, the German government supported the India One Solar Project in a big way, you know that, literally millions of euros, because the German government globally is supporting renewable energies. So Golo, being who he is, he was able to connect and make people aware of what was happening. And they saw our track record, because already by then we'd been engaged in solar work for about 14 years. So when they saw that the things that we'd done at the hospital in Mount Abu, the kitchen in Abu, Gyansrover, all of that, when they saw that 14 years, 10 years later, things are still functioning, then they decided they would invest. Because so often they invest and then people don't maintain and things fall apart. But here, that was the proof of our credibility and their trustworthiness. And so India One started and it's become a star project for them. And out of hundreds of projects that they engage in throughout the world, there were a few that were shortlisted, and Solar Project India One is one of them. I think about 3 projects have been taken up, and the environmental minister, a woman, launched the campaign, and there are big posters, literally, you know, you've seen bus shelters here, so the German bus shelters, full space given to India One solar panels, the mirrors that have been erected with all the information on it. So this is a national campaign that's happened in Germany. It started already. Yeah, it's worth clapping. So whether people want or not, Baba's work is shining and moving forward in an amazing way, in ways that we didn't expect. We didn't expect this, but God's plan, and God works with his plan, so let's see how things unfold further. Somebody told me something very beautiful the other day, that service of the Murali is the highest form of service, because it's giving sustenance to the Brahmins directly from the words God spoke through the mouth of Brahma. And so Murali service has been expanding, many languages, many methods to download. And today we're going to hear about another very beautiful step forward in Murali service. So please come and tell us about it. Vasanthi and Alan have been deeply involved in this and the instruments. Again, IT is doing so much and you don't always get to hear about it. You get to enjoy it because everything depends on IT now. But today they're going to share with us the next new step in Murali service. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So I'm not going to tell you something new because We've just released a new app, and I know there's many apps out there for the Murali, but this is an app that's been released with the blessings of all our seniors internationally, all the RCs and Madhuban. So I don't know if you remember, earlier on this year, I think January or end of January, we released a website for Muralis, and which was mobile friendly, and so you can read the daily Murali each day on your phone or on your iPad or whatever, and available in I think about 25, 26 languages, audio as well as text, and so we released that earlier this year. But since then, obviously, we've had a lot of people using that, and we've had a request for it to become an app as well, because it was a website, so now it's an app. So we then developed an app, and at the moment, the app is available only for Android, so it's not available for iPhones. That's coming next, but at the moment, it's for Android, and it has all the functionality that the website has. But obviously you can read them really offline as well now. That's what the advantage of having an app over a website. And this was actually commissioned by the RCs. They requested us to do it, and so we did it. And I know there's a lot of apps out there, but I would request all of you to support us, because we've been working with the RCs, to use this app and download it, try it out, share it with your friends, give us some feedback, and let's see if we can improve it more. I think we will be in the next coming months improving it even more. We're going to add highlighting so you can read and highlight them really at the same time, and many other different things, but we'd love to have your feedback on that also. Alan?
I have not much more to add, but that it's not just us two. There's a whole team behind it supporting this app, and a whole bunch of translators as well that actually really upload Murlis every single day, putting a lot of effort in it. So that's what I wanted to add. And also just your feedback is really, really important, because obviously we want to make this the most user-friendly app out there. So give us your feedback as much as possible, and obviously also if you can rate it so that it gets higher visibility so more people can use it.
And one way, I know when you go into Google App Store, there's lots of Murlis. The way to identify it is that we've got the Shiv Baba, and under there we've got the official Murli. We've got a little red line which says official Murli, so you know that's the official Murli app, because there's many apps out there at the moment. So just to identify this one as opposed to any others. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The poster will be downstairs on the notice board and all the notice boards, and there'll be a WhatsApp message going around. And there's a link on there as well, and there's also a QR code, so you can just scan it. Thank you.
Thank you.
तक मुँह के पार जहाँ रे Father.